Lord, you came into this world to reconcile lost man to a loving God. And you came also to reconcile man to man, brother to brother, sister to sister. And we thank you that it's in this process of reconciliation that we find peace. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been speaking to us in these past 2 days. That you opened up for us ways by which we can come back to God. That the hurts that we carry can be resolved. And tonight as we look into your word, Lord, our prayer is that you will deliver us. You will set our hearts free so that we can worship you, that we can love you and love our brothers and sisters too. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon we were speaking about these spiritual disciplines, if you remember, about giving, praying, and fasting. Tonight we want to speak about one other spiritual discipline, that is forgiving. Unless you live on a desert island, I think all of us know the pain of a broken relationship. And tonight there may be some here who are going through the trauma of a broken relationship. Because sometimes the best of relationships can turn sour and curdle. Marriages can have their bad days. Churches split over personality conflicts and power struggles. Neighbors are known to murder one another because of barking dogs. And broken relationships is a far greater threat than even some of the epidemics that we are facing today. So let's face it. There could be that some of us here have come to this place, to this retreat, leaving behind a broken relationship. May not be in the last few days, but maybe over the past few months or even the past few years. These broken relationships haunt us, even right now as we think about faces and people. You look at the world today, the home, the church. Life seems to be strewn with broken relationships. Relationships that are not mended. And sometimes we become so casual because we become people who break relationships and walk away, forgetting that there's so much of hurt. May not be for us, but for the other person. And all of these center around this failure to forgive. A failure to forgive. All of us love to be forgiven, no doubt. We expect it, we want it. It's this forgiving others that we struggle with. In order not to forgive other people, we've contrived 101 reasons as to why we should not forgive them. We say, he needs to learn a lesson. One lady said to me, I know she needs to boil in her stew for some time. Others say, you know, I'm the wrong one. So why should I be the first to take the step of forgiving that other person? And so we refuse to forgive. You know, the word for forgive in the Bible is to release, to free yourself. And so this failure to forgive breeds resentment. It breeds revenge, hatred, jealousy, anger. Sometimes it leads even to murder. What's resentment? Resentment literally means to feel again, maybe again. Because resentment clings to the past and relives it over and over and over again. It's like having a wound and you keep picking the scab off it so that the wound is always raw, it's always fresh. And when you open up a wound, that wound never heals. So resentment is what happens when you fail to forgive. So you do not break the cycle. Because we know this began long, long ago in the Garden of Eden. This husband and wife couple, you remember. You imagine they lived for 900 years, husband and wife. Every day, this must have been the cycle. When Eve said to Adam, you should not have eaten the apple. And Adam said to her, but you are the one who started it all. And so it goes on and on and on. One wanting to blame the other. Each one wanting the other to make the first move and say, okay, I'm sorry, I forgive you. But neither is willing to do that, to break this vicious circle. So neither will forgive. But you see, forgiveness alone can halt the cycle of this blame and pain. Forgiveness is the only way out. So for you and for me tonight, before we go further, if there's a hurting person, if there's someone who's going through a broken relationship, forgiveness alone is the only way out. So will you come with me to Matthew chapter 18, the passage we are looking at, verse 21 to 35, if you'll please keep your Bible open. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. And once again, we are thankful to Peter. He is the forever spokesman, we said. He's the one who's raising issues. So he comes and asks the question, verse 21, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? You know, I wondered whether when Peter speaks about his brother, he was actually thinking of his brother Andrew. Did you know that it's so often very hard to forgive our brothers, our sisters? Husbands find it very hard to forgive their wives and vice versa. There's a little boy in a home and they're having their evening prayer and he's asked to pray. So he prays. He prays for his father, his mother, his grandfather, his grandmother. He even prays for the little cat that is there. And the prayer is over and they get up. And his mother says to him, son, in your prayer, you forgot to pray for your brother, your elder brother, John. He said, I'll not pray for him because he hit me. But the mother says to him, son, but didn't Jesus say that we should forgive our enemies, that we should pray for our enemies? The little boy said, but he's not my enemy, he's my brother. You know, that's the problem, isn't it? We don't mind loving our enemies. We don't mind praying for our enemies. It's forgiving our brothers and sisters that we find so hard to do. And here's Peter. He's the one who asked the question first. And before Jesus could even open his mouth, he comes up with the answer. He says, up to seven times. Of course, Peter here, he's thinking that he's very magnanimous about this when he's suggesting seven times. Of course, there's good reason for this as to why Peter was saying seven times, because the rabbis taught in the synagogue schools that this is what God expected you to do. You can forgive someone for three times. Maybe this was a misinterpretation of the scripture from Amos chapter 1 where it says for three transgressions and for four So they taught that you can forgive a person three times and then judgment will come. So here's Peter. He's saying up to seven times. So he takes the rabbinic three times, multiplies it by two, adds one more for good measure, and says, will seven times do? I'm sure Peter expected to be congratulated by the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, look at Jesus' response. Jesus says to him in verse 22, I tell you, it's not seven times, but 77 times. So maybe 70 times seven. Now in Jesus' answer, there's a deliberate reference to Genesis chapter 4 verse 24, where this phrase occurs one other time in the Old Testament. And there, it's a man called Lamech who's speaking. He is speaking about revenge. The revenge that he has taken on an enemy. And he is saying, if Cain is avenged seven times, Lamech 70 times seven. So you see, in both these scriptures, the phrase 70 times seven is used. And both it's suggesting an unlimited number. But here's the difference. It's a major difference. Lamech is speaking about unlimited revenge. Jesus is speaking about unlimited forgiveness. So Lamech's principle on revenge is transformed into a principle of forgiveness. So when Jesus said to Peter, it must be 70 times 7, he was saying, there's no limit to Christian forgiveness. Because that's how God forgives, isn't it? And because you and I, we are a forgiven people, we have the same power to forgive. So here's a revolutionary principle. That you and I, we must forgive and we must go on forgiving. So in effect, Jesus was saying this. It's not the question of how often or how many times should I forgive. That's not the question. The question is, why should I forgive at all? And so to answer this deeper question, why should I forgive at all? Jesus told this parable that you find in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through to the end. And I've given it this title, The King and I, because we must get the characters straight in this parable. God is the king. You and I, we are the servant here. Particularly this servant who owed this great debt of money. So the purpose of this parable is so that we could see ourselves here, and I hope that we will not miss this. This huge sum of money, if you have a marginal reading, it says $1 million. Or if you bought it in some other place, it would say £1 million, I think. But the king ordered that he, his wife, his children, all that he had to be sold. And even that would not be enough to pay his debt. And so in desperation, this servant fell on his knees before the king. He said to him in verse 26, be patient with me and I will pay back everything. Of course, that was wishful thinking. Even if he lived and worked and gained as much as he could, he would never ever be able to pay back that debt. That was impossible. And so the king's heart was moved. And here's the gospel. I hope you see this in verse 27. The master took pity on him. Cancel the debt and let him go. So at great cost to himself, he forgave the servant. So what a grateful man this man should have been. And yet he wasn't. Am I hearing a sound in my ear? Yeah? So all of you are hearing it too. Right. I do not know where it's coming from. But anyway. Sorry? Crickets. Okay. I never heard crickets that loud in my life. Okay. So here's a man who owes such a huge sum of money, and yet, though he could not pay it, the king is willing to forgive him. And I hope we also don't miss this in seeing ourselves as this servant. The sum of all our sin, your sin, my sin, was against God. It's like that great debt that could not be paid. A staggering debt. And yet, God in His mercy forgave us that debt. So there came a day in your life and mine when we knelt before the king and said, Lord, have mercy. And the whole debt was wiped away. As far as the east is from the west, the psalmist says, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He said, I forgive you. Have you wondered why the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west and not the north is from the south? Well, you know where the north pole is, you know where the south pole is. So it's a measurable distance. But you don't know where the east is, you do not know where the west is. If you're going around, you're always going east. It's about an immeasurable distance, as far as the east is from the west. So far, God has removed our transgressions from us. He's forgiven us. And having been forgiven, what God is saying to you and to me, forgive. Just as much as you have been forgiven, forgive. So you see, our forgiveness from God is inseparably intertwined with our willingness to forgive others. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does it mean? Oh, it does not mean that our forgiveness of others earns us the right to be forgiven by God. No. It is rather that God forgives the penitent. And that one of the chief evidences of true penitence is a loving and forgiving spirit. So you see, my dear brothers, sisters, our unwillingness to forgive others bars the door against God's willingness to forgive us. And look at the way He forgave us. You know, God's forgiveness of us was so costly. Oh, a cross had to be raised to silence the blasphemy that forgiveness is easy and cheap. It's not. I think modern day evangelistic preaching has made it like that. Where we say, all those who want to be forgiven, just raise your hand. And so we think, because I raised my hand, all my sins are forgiven. No, but for God, it was on the cross. There suffering and dying, He cried out, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. You know, He was the one who was offended. He was the one who was blasphemed and slandered. And yet, He, the crucified one, He took the first step in saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. But then, in the rest of this parable, in verse 28 to 30, is a picture of forgiveness refused. Listen to this. Here's this man. He owed the king a great sum of money. He couldn't pay it. He said to him, have mercy on me. And the king forgave him the whole debt. And this same servant went out from this experience of being so unbelievably forgiven. He catches another fellow servant who owed him a paltry sum of money. Catches him by the throat, it says. The NIV says he grabbed him and began to choke him. And what did this poor servant do? In verse 29 it says, he fell on his knees and begged him. He said, be patient, I will pay you back. Notice he's using the same words that this other servant used to the king. But what did this first servant do? Instead of forgiving him, verse 30 says, he threw him into prison. You know, when I read that for the first time, there was rising in my heart what they called a righteous indignation. You know, I was saying to myself, how could anyone who has been forgiven so much not be willing to forgive another so little? Is that not how we feel? And yet, how often, how many times we've been to our church service, we've worshipped there. We even participated in the Lord's table. And then we walked out angry, resentful, with an unforgiving spirit maybe. It's as if we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses in the same way we do not forgive others their trespasses. And what would we be if God answered that prayer? And that's why tonight, I think you and I, we need to be freed from this bondage of not being able to forgive others. Because that's an indication that we've refused God's forgiveness. It's then that we revert to this basis of justice. We say, why should I forgive? Let her stew. And we do not want to forgive. It's then that we begin to claim our rights. We begin to say, I am the offended one. Then we demand apology. We ask for our pound of flesh. We too catch our brother by the throat. And we throw them into prison. But when we genuinely forgive, we set a prisoner free. And mind you, that prisoner is us, you and me. So in the rest of the story, Jesus gives two reasons why we must forgive. Here's the first reason. The first reason why we must forgive is because anything less would be hypocritical. You see, you and I, we cannot demand justice for others because we cannot stand on that ground. The only way we can claim justice is if we do not sin at all. But we have been sinners. We have sinned so much. We have been forgiven so much. And therefore, we should show mercy to others instead of demanding justice. That's why in verse 33, Jesus says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? But what happens when we refuse to forgive? When we refuse to forgive, we become like this unrighteous servant. We become hypocritical. Because we then begin to follow the law of retaliation, which breeds revenge. And you know, revenge is a deadly thing. I heard the story of a lady who was bitten by a rabid dog. It's a very serious thing, isn't it? Because they say, after having been bitten by a rabid dog, the end is ghastly. Because you begin to frothen the mouth, you begin to bark like a dog, and if you bite anyone, then their number's up. But here's this lady. She was bitten by a rabid dog. And they ran all the tests and they confirmed, yes, The poison has entered into your body. And soon the end will come. So right there in the hospital, she asked for a few sheets of paper and she began to write all those sheets of paper. And the doctor came to her and said, "Lady, are you writing out your will?" She said, "No, I'm writing out the names of all the people I should bite." You know, that's revenge. You know, we want to even the score. Somewhere, some great literature writer has said that revenge is sweet. But actually, revenge is not sweet. Revenge is bitter. It's as bitter as poison. Because revenge is the passion to get even. But the problem with revenge is that it never gets what it wants. It never evens the score. The second reason why we must forgive is because of this torment of an unforgiving spirit that it brings. Look at verse 34. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. See, in telling this parable and any other parable, Jesus often left the sort of punchline to the end. And this is what he does here too. He leaves the punchline to the end. Since he's talking about forgiveness, he turns him over to the jailers. That's what the NIV says. The NIV uses this word, jailers. But actually the Greek word here is the word for torturers or tormentors. And the King James translation uses that word. So it's like this. When we fail to forgive, we place our hands, our lives, in the hands of the torturers or the tormentors. This torment of a gnawing resentment, of a growing bitterness. And sometimes we have this misconception that when we do not forgive others, someone whom we have a broken relationship with, that when we do not forgive them, then they are the ones who suffer. But that's not true. Actually, it's we are the ones who suffer. We think that by not forgiving them, we hope to swallow a cyanide pill and hope that they will die. It never works that way. So notice, it is not God who consigns such unforgiving people to the tormentors or the torturers. It's those who are unwilling to forgive who they themselves consign themselves to the torturers. That is, those with an unforgiving spirit bar the door against God's mercy and they stay there until they pay back every cent that they owe. So tonight, here once again is a question that comes to you and to me. Is there a broken relationship? Is there an unforgiving spirit here? And more than that, is there someone here who is in the hands of the torturers or the tormentors? Because look at how Jesus brings home this point in verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive from the heart. And you know, that's a promise. He keeps his promise. Here he's speaking about a justice and judgment. You want it, you'll get it. Remember James. James says this in chapter 2, verse 13. Judgment is without mercy for those who show no mercy. You see, God has a heart for love and forgiveness. And for that, there's no limit. But when you and I are unwilling to forgive, then God brings judgment upon us. So, as I conclude tonight, is there someone you have decided you will not forgive? Someone who's been a very good friend, and yet there's this someone who's done something to you, and you said, I will never ever forgive this person. You may be thinking that that person is suffering. Actually, you are in the hands of the torturers. You see, tonight, as I said right at the beginning, I do not know why I'm sharing this message with you. But tonight, God wants to release you from that bondage, from the hands of the tormentors. He wants to break those shackles, set you free, so that you will know what true freedom in Christ is, and even the fullness of His Spirit in your life. So now, the onus is on you. You can break free. You can come out of that bondage by being willing to forgive whoever that person is. And that person may not be here. But whoever that person is, you can say before God, Lord, I forgive that person. That's in the past. You take charge of my life right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Just a moment in quiet. Is there someone here with an unforgiving spirit? You've taken this decision. Over my dead body, I'll never forgive. And so you have been for all this time in the hands of the tormentor. And so you will always be. Oh, God has made gracious provision. Tonight you can break free. And you can come out experiencing the freedom of God's Spirit in your life by saying tonight in your heart to God, Lord, I am the aggrieved one, and yet I am willing to take the first step to say, I forgive you. And God hears and answers that prayer even tonight. God comes to set us free from the spirit of retaliation and the revenge. A gracious, forgiving God, we bow down before you tonight, here in this place. Soon everything will be over and we will be gone. But we will still have to face up to people with whom at one time there were good relationships, and yet today there are broken relationships, hurting people with pain in their heart over the past. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, you come to do a miracle tonight. You come to set us free from this bondage. You come to open prison doors so that the captive can come out. Lord, tonight we pray for those who right now who are saying, Lord, I forgive that person in spite of all that they have done or said to me. I forgive them. Thank you that there's liberty and there's freedom in experiencing your love and forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving us so much. Thank you for tonight and for all that you mean to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.